If you'd like to turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel according to John, chapter 14. The Gospel according to John, chapter 14. And reading from verse 5. John chapter 14, verse 5. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And our subject this morning is the only way to God. The only way to God. That is what the Lord Jesus Christ is presenting himself as in this tremendous verse, John 14, verse 6. Again, a very well-known verse, but these things are so very important and very often clouded out in today's unbelieving and atheistic society. I am the way, the truth, and the life. If only more people in this society would take a hold of these things and understand what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So important, it should dominate everything we do and say here below. Such a verse of power. But before I look into this in any great depth, well, just to put this into context, these passages, these chapters, these words of the Lord Jesus Christ are being spoken very, just before the Lord Jesus Christ will be crucified. This is the eve of his crucifixion. He has just enjoyed the Last Supper with his disciples. And, the Lord Jesus Christ knows what will happen to him. Judas Iscariot has already gone about. He has left the company of disciples. Satan has entered into him, and he has gone to betray the Lord Jesus Christ. So the wheels are very much in motion. In a matter of hours, the Lord Jesus Christ will be arrested, and he will be tried, and he will be sentenced to that death on the cross. So we are very near to that time. And the disciples, well, it will be a very harrowing time for them. It will be, of course, a terrible time for the Lord Jesus Christ. He will suffer. He will die. He will take upon himself the punishment for the sins of his people, an agony that we cannot even begin to comprehend. The Lord Jesus Christ will suffer. And yet in chapter 14, his words are only designed to comfort the disciples. Tremendous words at the beginning of chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled. What a tremendous thing. The Lord Jesus Christ will suffer eternal agony. And his thought is for the disciples. Let not your heart be troubled. Well, that shows us so much about the heart of God. The heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. The Lord is saying, well, he will suffer, he will die, but he will go to be with the Father, and he will return for the disciples. He will come back for them. He goes to the Father to prepare a place for them. And well, not just for the disciples, but for all of us. We apply these words to every Christian man, woman, and child. What a comfort it is to know that the Lord Jesus Christ is in heaven. What is he doing in heaven? Is he doing nothing? Is he just sitting there? No, he's preparing a place for us. We who are so sinful, we who are so inadequate, The Lord Jesus is preparing a place for us that tells us that we are always on his heart. Even there, he is at the right hand of the Father. We are always on his heart. He is preparing a place for us. He is waiting for that time when we shall be with him, where we shall be with him again. And well, he will return for us and receive us unto himself. We are on his heart, on his mind. And these are the comforting words that he is sharing with the disciples. And this is of great comfort to us. But then in verse 5, Thomas says unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Well, the disciples, they must have known that something was going to happen, something very terrible, something very traumatic, but they don't have full understanding. And Thomas, obviously, is in the dark about much of what will transpire. Lord, we know not whither thou goest. Where are you going? And how can we know the way? In verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Again, the Lord is saying, I am going to the Father, and all those who follow me to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way to God. The way, the truth, and the life. 3 points and one conclusion. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Well, these are very wonderful and profound words. So let's take each point one by one and apply them to that great conclusion. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So I am the way, first of all. I am the way. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Well, these words, of course, mean that the Lord Jesus Christ is the only way. He is the only way, of course. We don't like to speak in those terms anymore in this society, in this unbelieving society. So many people think, well, there are so many religions. How can you possibly say that this religion, the Christian faith, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the only way? You can't say that anymore, people will always say to us. But that's exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying here. I am the way. Oh, people protest. So many religions, they can't all be wrong. Surely one of them must lead to God. Well, we must remember that in the time of the Lord Jesus Christ, there were other religions too. It's not just today that we have lots of other religions. There were many other religions, many other gods in the time of the Lord Jesus Christ, possibly more so. The Romans had their gods. The Greeks had their gods. There were all the gods of Egypt. But the Lord Jesus Christ is not saying, oh, you can use them. They're all right. Religion's all the same, really. You can go whichever way. He didn't say that. He said, I am the way. And even in the Old Testament, well, you think of the children of Israel wandering in the wilderness with so many nations round about them. Well, they all had their gods, Baal worship. They had their false idols. But God would always say, stay away from them. God would never say, oh, yes, it's all right. You can worship them and you'll end up in heaven. No. You must turn away from those things. If you worship those false idols, they will only lead you away from the true and living God. There is only one true and living God. And so you must put away every other way, every other religion, because there's only one God. It's pointless to follow those other gods. They are gods of wood and of stone. You are greater than those gods. The Lord would always be pointing out to the Jews. You yourself, as human beings with living souls, you are greater than those gods of wood and stone. They can't even speak. They can't even hear. You can. You are greater than those. So why are you worshipping those gods? Doesn't make any sense. So the Lord, throughout the whole scripture, Old Testament and New Testament, there is no other way. There is no other God. only one true and living God, and he has only seen fit to provide one way to him. Well, it makes sense, doesn't it? If there's only one God, there is only one way to him, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what he is saying here. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way. The Lord Jesus Christ has always been the way. He's always been the way. It's not correct to think that when the Lord Jesus Christ was born, then he became the way. Before the Lord Jesus Christ was born, perhaps there were other ways to God. And then the Lord Jesus Christ came and, well, he overtook those and he became the best way to God. No, the Lord Jesus Christ has always been the way. The Bible says even before the world was created, the Lord Jesus Christ was the way of salvation. Even before the world was created. Many people will say to you, oh, some religion, such and such a religion, the religion of the Aztecs and all those Incas, it's an older religion. It was before Christianity, and so that must be true. That must be real. But, well, they forget what the scriptures say, that even before the foundation of the world, Christ was appointed as the way of salvation. The three members of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they agreed that Christ would come into this world in the fullness of the time. God would send forth his Son to be the way of salvation, to redeem men and women and children. Even before man was created, this was conceived in the mind of God, not in the mind of men. And so when people say there are older religions, they don't understand. Christ was the way of salvation even before the world was created. And so we must remember these things. And then even after the Lord Jesus Christ died and was resurrected and ascended up on high, even after that, the apostles, well, what did they preach? They didn't preach that there were many ways to God. They preached there was only one way, the Lord Jesus Christ. There is none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. That is what they preached. They did not preach multiple ways. And so, if we are being true to Scripture, if we are being true to the apostles, to the way of preaching that they practiced, there is only one way to God. I am the way, the Lord Jesus Christ. Other people will say there are other ways, but that's not right. That's not the truth. I am the way. And then, well, of course, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I am the way and the truth. The truth. Well, the truth is not very popular in this day and age, is it? Nobody really likes to speak the truth anymore. If you go around, if you're one of these people who goes around being very honest and being very truthful to people, you'll soon find that you don't have very many friends because there are so many things you can't say. Now, I was speaking a couple of weeks ago and I mentioned some of these talent shows, X Factor and so forth, and Britain's Got Talent. And have you ever noticed on these shows that the person, the judge, who always tells the truth, is the one that people hate, the one that people boo. They don't want people to hear the truth. If somebody says the truth, that person can't sing. This person isn't funny. They always boo. Oh, don't tell them the truth. Just tell them what they want to hear. Tell them something nice. We don't like people who actually say what they mean. And they're always the villain, the one who is going to tell the truth. So we've pushed truth out of our society. Politicians, for example, they're never going to tell you the truth at election time about how they're going to run things, about what their government is going to do if they get into power. They can't tell you the truth because then nobody will vote for them. So we've pushed truth out of our society. And well, this is a very sad thing. And that is why the Lord Jesus Christ is so unpopular. This is why the teaching of the Word of God is so unpopular in this day and age. Do you think maybe it's unpopular because it's outdated? Or because it's embarrassing? Or because it's oppressive? No, it's not because of those reasons. The Word of God is unpopular because it tells us the truth. It tells us the truth about everything, about morality, about right and wrong. And people nowadays, they do not want to hear these things. But the Lord Jesus Christ, he always spoke the truth. Even when he was on earth, in his time on earth, even when he knew it would be unpopular, even when he knew that so many of the people who followed him would turn away, he always spoke the truth. He is truth. And so when we read the Word of God, we know that it is truth. And I remember when I was seeking after the Lord, this was the greatest thing that came to my mind. When I was seeking and reading through the Word of God, it was so refreshing to hear the truth. Because for so much of my life, I had just heard people say what they thought I wanted to hear. Just say something encouraging. Say something to lift his spirits a little bit. And it wasn't getting me anywhere. I needed somebody to tell me the truth. The truth about what I needed to do on this earth. The truth about the meaning of life. The truth about us, the human race. The truth about God. Is God real? The truth about our relationship with God. That's what I wanted. And that was only found in the Word of God. Truth. And well, this truth that we read of in the Word of God, what does it tell us? Well, it tells us that God is holy. God is holy. We are sinners. That's the truth. And because God is holy, he cannot allow sinners into heaven. He cannot allow us into heaven just as we are. He cannot do that. In fact, he must judge sin. We must each one stand before God and give an account of our lives. At the end of our lives, we must be judged. We must all stand before him at the end. And well, that is the truth. That's not popular. That's not very popular at all, is it? But why is the Lord saying these things? He's not saying it to be mean or to be nasty. He's telling us these things because it is the truth. It is the truth. We must stand before God. And if we have not trusted in the way of salvation that God has provided, well, then we shall be lost eternally. And he says that because we need to respond to that truth. But it's also the truth, a glorious truth found in the scriptures, that Christ has come to take upon himself the punishment for our sin. That's the truth. Christ loved us and he came into this world that he would suffer and die in our place. That is the truth for us. And that if we have faith in him, well, then we can be saved. Not through any rite or ceremony. We don't have to do anything. We just put all our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ has suffered and died for my sin, and I will be saved. That's the truth. That is the glorious truth. Sometimes it seems too good to be true, doesn't it? That the Lord Jesus Christ would suffer. God himself would take upon himself the punishment for our sin. And all that we need to do is have faith. We don't need to do anything else. Seems too good to be true. But that is the truth. It is presented to us in the Holy Scriptures. That is the truth. And so we must respond to it. And we must embrace it. But well, of course, the truth is also that we are naturally defiant in the face of God. We do not like this gospel. We do not think that we need a savior. Naturally speaking, we always think to ourselves, I'm good enough for God. I don't need a Saviour. I'm good enough. If I stand before God at the end of time, well, then God will accept me. He will accept me fully. I don't need to put all my trust in a Saviour. But well, we have to ask ourselves, is that the truth? If there's anybody here who thinks that, I'll be all right at the end of time. Is that actually the truth? Is it true that you've never done anything wrong? You have to stand before a holy God who can see everything that you have ever done. Is it really the honest truth that you have never done anything wrong? You've never lied at any time? You've never stolen anything? Is that the truth? You've never been unkind? You've never been cruel to anyone, manipulative, selfish? Is that the truth? Oh, well, when we look at it in those terms, we know that that is not the truth. And elsewhere in the scriptures, well, we have some very famous words in 1 John chapter 1, verse 8, don't we? If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. If we say that we have no sin, the truth is not in us. If we say that we have no sin, that's not truth, that's pride. It's pride. And pride will keep us apart from God for sure. Our terrible human pride. You need to cast your pride aside, dear friends. If you believe that you will be all right, you need to cast your pride aside. Humble yourself before God. Say, Lord, I am a sinner. That's the truth. Lord, I need a Saviour, truly. And I know that Christ is the only one who has suffered and died for me. I need him more than I need anything else. And that's the truth. Come to Christ with that truth. And that truth, well, it will be your salvation. That truth will set you free. If you come to the Lord Jesus Christ honestly as a humble sinner, Lord, I know I need a Saviour. That truth will set you free. Your sins will be lifted off you. You will be forgiven. There will be no condemnation for you at the end of time. That truth will set you free. Why would you not embrace that truth? Why would you cleave to your pride? These things are so very important, dear friends. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. What does the Lord Jesus Christ say? I am the life. What does that mean? Well, life in this world, life without God in this world, in this fallen world, it's not really life at all. It's not really life at all. Not as the Bible would define it. Not as God has designed it. Life in this fallen world is not life at all. People in this world may think they have life. And we're coming to a time of the year when, we have the summertime. And so many people, ungodly people, they love this time of the year. We can all go and we can go to the pub. We can spend the whole day in the pub. Spend the day in a pub garden, maybe watch the football. There's a football tournament coming on. And they say to themselves, well, this is the life. This is what life truly is. That's not life at all, according to the Bible. They think they've got life, but that is not life at all. Life is only that which Christ can give. When we come to Christ, he gives us new life. New life, spiritual life, eternal life. That is true life, dear friends. That new birth. When we are born again, well, then something tremendous happens. We are born into a life with true understanding. For the first time in your life, you understand what your life is for. The meaning of life. It's to commune with God. It's to relate with God. You never knew that before because you'd never lived before. Now you have new life in Christ. You understand what your life is for. Now you're really living. True understanding about life, about sin, about death. You understand all these things. Now you're really living. You have true peace, peace with God, the forgiveness of your sin. You no longer live in fear of death. You know that you have everlasting life. And these things are so wonderful. You have communion with God. You speak to God. You pray to God. You pray to God. What a tremendous thing it is. And you see the answers to your prayer. God is leading you. God is guiding you. You never had this before. You've only just started to live. And well, you have gifts when we're born again. So many people, you ask people who are born again when they're Christian people. They have new gifts, things they never knew that they could do before. Now they have been gifted by God. They're able to speak about God. They're able to teach about God. They're able to go through trials in their lives that would otherwise have crushed them. If they were still unsaved, things that happen in their life would have completely crushed them, but they have a new strength. It's like they never lived at all before they came to the Lord Jesus Christ. That is why, no wonder, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And of course, while we've mentioned it, everlasting life, eternal life. We were speaking on Wednesday at our Bible study about how life without God is so brief. Life without God is like a vapor. It's like a breath. And we mentioned how if on a cold day you breathe out, you see your breath just for a second, only for a split second, you see it and then it's gone. And that is a life without God. In the grand scheme of things, you live just for a few seconds and then it's gone just like that. In the grand scheme of things. But when you come to Christ, you have everlasting life. It's not just a breath, just a vapor. It's eternal life. You live forever in a new heaven and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Oh, let us just think just for a few seconds about the new heaven and the new earth, the eternity that is promised to God's people. There's no toil, there's no labor. There is only perfect eternal rest for God's people. There's no more bodily pains. Are there anybody here with aches and pains and things that they wish weren't in their body? Well, we will have new bodies in that new heaven and that new earth. There'll be no more grief. There'll be no more tears, no more sorrow, nothing to bring us down at all. There'll be no more sin. There'll be no more death. This is the life. It's not going out, going to the pub, getting drunk. This is the life. No sin, no sorrow, no death, only everlasting joy and peace. This is the life that we ought to be striving after. And that is why the Lord Jesus Christ says these things with such authority. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Oh, dear friends, why would you follow another way? No man can come unto the Father but by me. That is basically saying, and we're running out of time, if you choose to go another way, oh, I'm going to go my own way. I'm going to leave this church. I'm going to decide to live how I want to live. I'm going to go my own way. Well, you will not be with the Father. You will not know true life. All other ways lead away from God. They lead to death. And so we must come to the Lord Jesus Christ, humble ourselves, put our pride to one side, say, Lord, I need a Savior. I need the forgiveness of my sin. I need that everlasting life. I need to trust in Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. May these words be our pathway to heaven this day, this morning. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, our God, our gracious Heavenly Father, Oh Lord, we thank thee for Christ Jesus, who is the way, the only way, the truth, oh Lord, how much we need him, and the life, there is everlasting life only in him. Lord, bless us each one with that life, save our souls, forgive us all our sin. We ask it in our Saviour's name and for his sake. Amen.